Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So irritating. You have any idea what it's like to have to stand to wank? Hello, we're back. This is episode 91 of Ready Player 2. I have to do this fast because I have to do it fast every single time because now I can see everybody's faces on the stream. I constantly screw the intro up. So I'm not going to redo this intro. So it doesn't matter how badly wrong it goes. This is what you've got to live with it. All right? So if you fuck me up, right? If you make faces and do that thing, like Ross, like that face you're doing right now.
Standard face.
It's your regular face.
Seems harsh.
But they don't do any of that. So, look, hello. If you can see us, which you should be able to see us if you're amazing and you're in the Facebook stream right now. So this week we're trying something slightly different. And now for something slightly different. We are no longer streaming this week to Twitch. Only because we couldn't work out how to do it.
Too complicated for us.
And so we had a slight technical issue, which we decided to ignore. And now we are streaming to Facebook, which is great. And it's an experiment, which is fantastic. I am here. My name is Rich. You can find me on Twitter at ZEBWEN, and it's on the stream right there. Oh, shit, it's reversed. I can't point at it properly. We also have with us this week Mr. Ross Fabelbach.
Hello.
Who I can't point at. This new application has got me backwards. This is really going to screw me over. This is no good. We also have Mr. Lewis Knight.
Hello.
And you need to say something.
I forget the primary audio component.
Yeah. If you sign all the way through this podcast, yeah, it is really going to screw up the audio component of this thing. Like, it's not going to make any sense.
So, can we have a show of hands who can read the British Sign Language?
Like, I can't.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm going to need subtitles. I can probably do, like, is that something, or... That's the best I've got. We also have Miss L.
Hi.
There we go. I've introduced everybody. That's good. Okay, this is a good start. We've got there. How is everybody doing? It's been a little while since we last spoke, and it's been not all that long since we released the last podcast because it took a little while to edit, which is fine. So, are we all good?
Marvellous.
Yeah, all good?
Yes.
Marvellous and fantastic. Have we been playing new, amazing, cutting-edge games?
Yes. Oh, actually, yes, I have.
Quite, that sounded like lies.
Yeah. No, I have. I played a game that came out in the last, well, at least in the last couple of months.
Cool. So, here's the problem. I can't remember what I spoke about on the last podcast. Which is almost always an issue for me. But that's
shoot,
not too much
shooting
of a problem.
Shooting Nazis and going for milkshakes with L.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I did
that's
see
true.
That out of context.
And I did
quote.
The thing. I did the thing. I said I was going to do a thing and I did it.
Oh.
Jeez.
Hallelujah.
What the hell? The thing that I said I was going to do.
The milkshake thing.
Do you not know what happened on the last podcast, Elle?
Yeah, but you said that you were going to play a game with me and that's not happened.
I know. I didn't play a game. No, I never said I was going to play a game with you.
Go awkward. Back to that podcast.
No. Yeah. No. Did I?
Right, okay, so an addendum.
Yep.
That game that you said you were going to play with Elle isn't actually out yet, so.
Okay.
Right, so.
Here we go.
In summary, fuck you, Elle. I will play that game with
you
when it fucking comes out. Alright.
Still wrong.
Don't get off my back.
So.
Never.
I definitely said I was going to do something
here.
Else, though. So.
I'm fairly certain you said you were going to play Wolfenstein.
Yeah, the milkshake was going to bring all the boys to the yard.
That was going to bring all the boys to the yard. Okay, so so evidently we're doing me first, which is fine.
You're the host. It's kind of up to you.
So I mean, I've got to be honest, I did steer it in that direction. So so I did play Wolfenstein. I played Wolfenstein New Colossus.
Yes.
Which is not the latest one that isn't out yet. It's the other one that came out that Ross told me to play because... Fucking fingers. That Ross told me to play because he said it was really, really good.
Yes.
So I played it.
Oh, God.
It is not really, really good.
It's great.
It is, in fact, somewhere the opposite of really, really good. And I, do you know what? I get it. I get why people like it. But... it felt like enormous cutscene. It felt like enormous patriotic American. Like if you blended America and put that in a milkshake and then force fed it to me, I would imagine this is what it would taste like.
So my new favorite descriptor for America, something that is American, is violently American.
This is it. Oh, and this is really violently American. And like. Even more so, and not that I've got a problem with being American, I'd just like to point that out. I do have a problem with Nazis, but and they have the a problem with Nazis.
Opinions,
I think
right.
It's okay to have a problem with Nazis nowadays.
This is spiraled.
I don't feel like I'm necessarily picking on a minority group. Although they are a minority, I feel like I'm getting off piste. The point here is that so if you squoze a load of very manly Americans, right? And then blended them, and you got, like, Patriot juice. And then you had this lovely cup of Patriot juice. And then simmered it lightly over we're fighting Nazi righteousness.
For 18 hours.
Yeah.
I'm taking this recipe
then
down.
You would get this pungent and potent broth.
Like a jus.
That essentially... Like a jus, yeah? Like a... I feel this is getting away from me a bit. It's... That is this game. It feels like I am getting constantly... My eyes are being constantly ejaculated into by all this American patriotism and righteous Nazi punching. And forget about the fact that the rest of the game is pretty good, right? So the actual shooting and the running around and stuff like that, that kind of stuff is pretty good. The only thing that did piss me off slightly was I thought that the game was relatively linear. Like you like Doom. You run along, and you shoot some stuff, and then you turn right, and you shoot some more stuff, and then you turn left, and you shoot some more stuff. It's not like that. I didn't realise. And I got really turned around. Like, really, really lost. And I didn't like that. Like, I felt like all of my preconceptions were being challenged. And then you get on this airship, and you have to walk around this airship, and you have to talk to people and stuff like that. And I just, do you know what? I just didn't enjoy it very much. I don't know what it was exactly. Like, it didn't feel like a particularly good shooter. Didn't feel like a particularly good FPS. The cutscenes felt like they were poorly acted, but like they didn't know that they were acting poorly. Like it was perfectly fine. Like everything's normal. It just didn't click with me. I don't know why. It just didn't click with me. Which is dumb because I loved the previous Wolfenstein game, the Return to Castle Wolfenstein. Just didn't get this one.
Do you know what? I thought whatever the first of the remakes of Wolfenstein, it was a chore to play.
I liked it. I guess because it felt different. But I think after the remake of Doom, I think I was expecting something different from this. And it wasn't what I got, which is okay. Not every game is made for me. That's fine. But this particular game, I just didn't...
Return to Castle Wolfenstein came out in 2001. That is an old-ass game now.
It's not an old-ass game. It's like a
18
mid-life
years ago,
game
Rich.
For me.
That game can now legally drink.
That game can now legally drink. Look, I can't point at a specific thing that I really didn't like about this game, apart from the fact that the cutscenes are too long for a shooter, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It felt like it could have done with more like in-game set pieces rather than flat-out cutscenes. I got turned around far too many times. I didn't feel like the level design was... It was neither linear enough nor open-world enough for me to really get my head around what was going on. It was very beautiful. It was really nice. I didn't particularly like the shooting mechanics all that much, and I found the guns really complicated. But other than that, it was okay. It wasn't die. It's not the worst game I've ever played, by far, but it just didn't... It didn't tickle my dickle. That was what it was. Did not do that. So I'm sorry, Russ. And look, I said I was going to try it.
That's fine.
And I tried it, and it's just... Whoa, you went very high-pitched there.
It's fine.
Are you disappointed?
Honestly,
are you okay?
No, it's fine.
I feel like I've let you down.
It's not fine.
It's not fine.
I've heard the it's fine in that tone.
Do you know what I mean? The pitch was all off for fine. Like, that's fine, and this was where that was. It was way up there.
That's fine.
Okay. All right, good. All right, so that's that. That's that game. I am still going to play the next one because the next one looks really cool.
Yeah.
But my worry now is what turned me on to the next game and the trailers and everything were the cutscenes. So I saw they brought out a video that had like...
You were literally just moaning about the cutscenes.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, what had me thinking that the newer game, the game that hasn't yet come out, looks really cool is because I saw some cutscenes from it and I thought they look really cool. And now that I've witnessed the cutscenes firsthand in a game that I would much rather be playing than watching cutscenes, I'm sitting there now thinking, actually, I'm not so sure. I may have gone off this ever so slightly. All right, that's it. Okay, I'm going to stop talking about my thing. That wasn't
confused,
really
good
now. I'm not a normal human. I'm a normal person. Right.
A normal boy.
Such conviction.
Everybody, why does everybody go high-pitched when I say things today? Right, look, fine, fuck you, Ross. You can talk about your thing now. Go ahead.
I play Prey, and as Lewis warned me, it was shit. You watched the stream,
there was a double warning here.
It was awful. Like,
so I played the original...
Yeah, so like 1 and 2, they were good games, I like them.
I never knew they made a sequel.
I think they made a sequel, yeah. They were good. They were completely different to this, though. This new one just didn't make any sense. It handled like a fucking load of shit.
So I watched you play in the stream for a bit where you were like swinging a
bag
at dark
spanners.
Cloud babies.
Literally, a spanner. Shooting a gun that kind of froze things, but didn't really freeze them for long enough to go and hit them with your other weapons. It took so long to switch weapons.
So this is not a sequel. This is a remake or a reimagining of the, what, like 2006 game, Prey?
Yeah, it's a bit 360,
around
wasn't it?
And it came out on PC as well, but I might be wrong. Anyway, and that was all about, you were some like Native American Indian, and you were in a casino, I think, at the time, and aliens attack, and they're like weird little, I don't know what they are, like dark cloud things, like misty jobs, and they attack, and then also there's portals. And like, no, I never really understood why there were portals, but there were some portals. And it was kind of cool, and you could go through the portals, and you shot some missed babies, and everything seemed okay. I never really got massively into it. And now this is a total reimagining of a game that nobody really wanted reimagining.
Yeah, yeah, and for good reason after playing it. It's just really bad.
It's weird, because I've seen some people give it really high praise, and they've said that they thoroughly enjoy it, and they think it's an excellent game. I'm like, we must have been playing a different game, because I thought, fucking shit.
Might be a Marvel game.
Did anyone play Dishonored?
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
Yeah, exactly. It felt like Dishonored. It felt like a PC game, a PC first-person shooter that had been just ported onto an Xbox. It handles like Half-Life, it doesn't handle like Call of Duty or like one of those sort of first-person shooters.
See, there's quite a lot of these, and actually it works the other way around as well, when you can tell a game has been created for console and then it's ported over to PC, and it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Like the movement mechanics and everything just doesn't feel like it's moving in the right way.
The way the buttons were keyed, it didn't make sense.
Yeah. Now, because the thing is, like, loads of people liked Dishonored, right? Dishonored is a very, very popular game. Dishonored 2 even more so, I think. So there's a market for this kind of game. It's just possibly not us.
Yeah.
And we've got a very eclectic mix of people. In fact, we have possibly got the most eclectic mix of people that could possibly ever play games in here. Apart from possibly the whole handheld gaming crowd, I guess. The
like
mobile phone games.
Three of you own Switches.
So I meant like more mobile phones, like casual games and that kind of stuff.
I play casual games, I just don't talk about them.
Good.
Okay.
Like the
fuck you, I'm going to talk about a casual game later.
No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm not going to allow it. I'm not going to allow it. I'm hosting this. Fuck you. You're not allowed to talk.
You're not our real dad. You can't control us.
You're not the host of me. Right. Okay,
yeah,
it's in
the Game Pass. Wouldn't bother wasting the download time of like 70 gigs. It's not worth it.
It's free, but don't bother.
Oh, right.
Exactly.
It's not worth the free time.
Yeah, especially if you sign up for the 3 months for £1 deal that they've got at the minute. There's so much more better stuff you can play.
I watched you play this for a very short amount of time on the stream on Twitch, and essentially I watched probably 15 minutes of Ross going,
oh no!
I've got to go around this corner then, have I? Oh look, there's a thing.
Yep.
it was like a 20 minute sigh.
That's essentially what I did when I played the demo, and that's essentially what I did the entire time.
Yeah, I streamed the game for 1 hour and 44 minutes, about 1 hour and 34 minutes of me playing Apex after I gave up on Prey.
Okay, so look, if we've got anybody in the chat that's played Prey and liked it, or even if you didn't like it, tell us. We want to know what's going on, because we're dicking on some games today. This isn't going so well. So has anybody got a game that they liked?
Yes! I said this from
the
start.
Don't sound so surprised that I'm asking... this was like a segue, all right? I'm not supposed to know everything. If I could read your fucking mind, I wouldn't even need you there. I'd just talk about shit for you.
I'd already told you that I've got a game that I enjoyed.
Go on, then. You talk about your game. Good grief. I'm just going to sit here.
Good.
I'm going to talk a bit. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to talk a bit.
So, Rich, you went to Rest a couple of weeks ago?
I did.
You came back with some recommendations, one of which I picked up. Well, actually, good. One of which I got a key for.
Lovely.
Which was Far Lone Sail, and it is excellent. And I played it through in one go.
Good.
It's a kind of grayscale, but with hints of like color. Just red. And it's a really interesting, I don't know, it's like a weird take on Limbo or that sort of platform.
It's very weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very weird. The only thing that I could liken it to at the time was Journey.
Yes.
It's got that kind of feel to it, okay? So, I guess it's a side-scroller, but Lewis, do you want to just explain, like, what the game is? Because the game doesn't do a very good job of explaining what it is before you play it, does it?
Oh, I played it twice, played it through twice now, and I still haven't got a fucking clue what's going on.
No idea.
I have no idea what the story is about. You pretty much start off as a little dude. You look like the little dude from Journey, but it plays more like Limbo. There is no dialogue, there is no on-screen text, and you literally just travel from left to right.
And that's the game.
And that's essentially it.
It's so weird. So I said, now, the podcast that I spoke about this on, I'm not sure ever came out, did it?
You didn't speak about it.
Oh, did I not? I think it was episode...
We haven't recorded it.
We've not really spoken about it. Right. No, okay, fine. So... this was... I sat down at EGX Rest. Have I not spoken about EGX Rest on a pod? Do you know what? I cannot remember what's going on. Okay, right. So I might talk about that again in a bit. But I sat down to play this. And it was one of these things where there was a game next to it that I wanted to play. And somebody was on that game. And I saw this thing and I was like... nobody was sat at it. And I thought, it's a side-scrolling. It's a platformer, right? But sod it. I'll sit down and I'll have a play. And, like, 25 minutes later, I'm still sat at this thing. And I look around and I think, oh, shit. I didn't. And I realise that I've played, like, most of the game or a massive chunk of the game.
Well,
like, the whole...
So there's an achievement for finishing the game in about 90 minutes.
Okay.
Which you did, didn't
you? No, I think I did it in just over 100 because I cocked up a couple of bits. But so that's, you probably played nearly a third of the game.
Yeah, probably not far off that. And do you know what? I just played it and I thought, God, I really like this. Like, I really like this.
Yeah.
Weirdly, and it was brilliant. It was really entertaining, and it's like, it's one of those things where you can't really describe why you like it. Like, I can't even really describe what it is.
No. So to kind of clarify, you don't just kind of run across the map or run from left to right. You get a car that you have to manage, and your car also has sails.
Yeah.
And you have to manage the entire running of your vessel.
It's kind of like, have you ever seen that really weird film, the machines one, where the cities are machines?
Mortal Engines.
That yeah. one. It's like that, but it's a tinier version. And you've basically got to like run this whole thing, and you've got to pick up fuel and feed the engine, and it's got loads of little buttons all over it, and one of them feeds the engine's fuel, and one of them makes the thing go, and one of them puts the sails up and puts the sails down, and another one puts an anchor down to make the brake go, and the game gives you none of this. Nothing to you whatsoever.
You kind of rock up to a checkpoint, I suppose, in part of it, and then it just gives you a new feature. So it gives you a welder, a welding gun, to do repairs on your vessel. And I'm like, right, okay, so what the fuck do I do with this then?
Yep. I was running around squirting water at shit for ages. No idea what I was supposed to be doing. Didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
Put the sails up, kept bumping into a wall. Everything, it was just, it's just nice. It's a nice, like, the music's really good, the landscape is excellent, the gameplay is really good, it's very straightforward, it doesn't bog itself down with unnecessary gameplay. It knew, or it knows, what it wants to be, and it didn't overreach. That's my feeling of it, anyway.
Yeah.
It knows what it wants to be. They decided they wanted to make a short game with beautiful landscapes, great background music, and a very simple but engaging play style where you just get where you need to go. And it's puzzly to an extent, but it's kind of resource managey and platformy, and it just, it feels good, it feels nice, and it's just a tiny little thing. It's only, I don't think it's very expensive even, but it's definitely worth playing. It's so strange, but watch the videos, it's definitely worth playing, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't recommend it more, like, to the point where I would happily go back and kind of play it through a third time.
That's really good. I'm glad you got that.
It's only like, it's a couple of hours if you're kind of taking it all in, you're not trying to rush it or speed run it, and it's really nice to play. There was one really infuriating bit that you get to like a railway yard, and your vessel is attached to this track, and there's one of the old timey carts that you have to lift up and lift the handle up and down.
But it's only one side
of it, so you you have to jump up and down, and that makes it move and it pulls your car through. But I didn't realize that, so I spent ages burning through all of my fuel trying to push this cart out of the way. And I was like, there must be an easier way of doing this. So, and then I found out, oh, actually, you can jump on the springy thing and it moves the car. Yeah. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
I didn't get that far. I was like, eventually I had to stand up. I was just like, yeah, that's kind of cool. And just like walk off. I wasn't playing the whole game. It was fine. Okay, brilliant. Look, so that game is called Far Lone Sails. I mean, it's like Far colon Lone Sails or something like that. But if you're interested in something new, if you enjoyed Journey, if you like a kind of puzzly platformer that's quite cathartic and just nice to play. I hate calling things nice, but it's nice. It's a nice game.
Yeah.
Then try it. Then give it a go.
So,
all right, brilliant.
This came out in May last year. You could get it on PS4, Xbox One, Windows, and Mac OS. And it's $12.50 on Xbox, but it's probably going to be about the same on other platforms. So, yeah,
I haven't checked that, actually.
Definitely worth playing.
Worth a go. And, as you know, you can complete the game in an hour and 30 minutes. So you can always refund it on Steam afterwards. I didn't say that.
but definitely don't do that. Because don't do that.
Support the developers.
That's a really...
That's a dicky thing to do.
Dickish thing to do, Richard.
Only do that if you don't like the game or it doesn't work properly. That's the reason that it exists, right? Okay, fine. L. Hi.
Hi.
Don't look at my skirt. You need to talk about a thing.
I do. And I'm at the cutting edge of weird. I have a game that came out on the 11th of March this year.
Okay.
So we're going to do a little preface here. I don't know if any of you know the developer Script Welder. Used to do like free games on Newgrounds. Which is...
No.
I have a terrible Newgrounds habit. Hooray for weird games.
You go to that section of Newgrounds, don't you?
So
we know.
There's Scriptwilder used to, well, I say used to, he's now continued it. He did a bunch of games called Don't Escape, and he did three. And they're all free to play on Newgrounds. I'm pretty sure they'll still be there. So please go check them out. But I rather enjoyed them. And I thought he fell off the edge of the world. And he didn't output any games for quite some time. But he's come out with a new one, and it's on Steam, and it cost me 11 of my earthly pounds. Don't Escape 4, which is the fourth game in his Don't Escape series.
That's how I title games in Game Dev Tycoon, stuff like that.
Yeah. It's I will hold my hands up. I love pixel games right now. Which is far and away from what I used to be. But it's like a point-and-click adventure, but it's also survival-y kind of thing.
So a point-and-click survival game.
Yeah, basically.
Like Discworld with peril.
So much peril. So, 4 days in a wasteland. Your aim of the game is to survive. You can go and explore for resources, which is really cool. You have a certain amount of time given to you on each day that you can utilise to perform activities like bolstering your shelter or travelling to new areas to try and find more resources to make sure that your shelter is prepared for whatever the fuck is coming at you.
Sounds a bit like Sheltered.
That was that pixely one that you played at EGX like a couple of years ago, right?
I remember that vaguely at the back of my
head. We had a family in a vault.
That's in the Game Pass.
You have to, like, send them out and do stuff, and you get Grandma killed if she didn't do the right shit.
Yeah.
She frankly served her right.
Poor Grandma.
Oh, fuck it, she's got to earn her keep.
I think parts of this game are randomised, because I've been speaking to someone else who's played it, and he got bugs. And I got giant spiders. That I had to fend off.
Which seems unfair, right?
I know.
Did he get normal-sized bugs?
Bugs?
Like bug-sized bugs?
I have no
idea. I thought you meant game bugs, then.
Yeah, I thought you meant bugs.
Had to fend off the bugs with a wrench. I have
fix that code!
I've actually really enjoyed this, and I would very much recommend. I think it's well worth the 11 quid expenditure that I put through. Which
okay,
is
okay. So, what was the name of this again?
Don't Escape 4 Days in the Wasteland.
Don't Escape 4 Days
in the Wasteland. I loved his previous games. I still need to play through like the Deep Sleep stuff. But those are also free, so I can enjoy them at my leisure.
This looks almost identical to Sheltered.
Was it stolen? Did they
we'll
steal it?
We'll have to play it and see.
The thing is, so many games look exactly the same.
You get like a little report at the end of your night, and you're just like, you get like a report of, oh, you managed to seal the windows, which stopped 15 of the giant spiders from entering the house. You equipped yourself with a shotgun, and you took down 20.
Sounds like a really shitty version of the Generation game. Here's what could have killed you!
I'm into that.
Amazing version of the Generation game. I would watch that. If they took all of the regular Generation game contestants and put, like, bomb collars on them. Follow me here.
This has gone extreme!
Like, come on down! And people are like, no, fuck off. I don't want it.
No.
I'm alright. Alright, okay. So this is, like, I've got to be honest, Elle.
Yeah.
This does, on the weirdometer.
Yeah.
On Elle's weirdometer.
It's,
and maybe
it's not
I'm desensitized.
Weird.
Like, maybe I've become desensitized to this now, right?
Yeah.
But this is no, like, baby flail. This
no,
is no.
It's
this
not
is
Dane
no pigeon
pigeons.
Dating.
It's no. not Dane pigeons, no.
This is not up there with the weirdest shit you've ever come out with.
I'm disappointed.
Someone needs to make more.
They do. Are you feeling like you've got through it all? Are you feeling like there is no more like normal weird stuff? Because this is how a bad habit
I don't know if
starts.
I've talked about Simulcra. I don't know if I've talked about
Is this
that
another
one.
Game?
Yeah, this is a different game.
No, you've had one. Stop it.
Okay. I don't know if I've talked about it.
Okay, we can talk about that in a minute. You're allowed to talk about that in a minute. This isn't peer pressure, Elle. This isn't me forcing you to talk about weirder and weirder stuff until eventually your head implodes.
No, I'm basically like...
I'm like, I'll go weird. Like you're like, yeah, whatever, man. I'll go as weird as you need me to. You just keep pushing me. Let's see where they're going.
I can try and search for them, but okay. Yeah, this has just come out recently. I really enjoyed his previous games. It's good. It's good.
Okay. Right.
It's good.
That's the end of it. It right. So it does kind of look like. Is it? You said it's like £11, right?
Yeah.
Does this look £11 to anybody else?
Then again, I spend £15 on loads of weird indie games.
Like, is 1 to 3 available for free on Newgrounds?
Yeah. Go and play them and then see if you
try them. And if you like them, then you can go for the pay for
them.
Then
you can invest.
There you go.
See?
Okay.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, see? Right. I am going to talk about a game. I am, in fact, going to talk about 3 games. After I just stopped Elle from talking about 2. I'm not going to do them all at once, because that would be unfair. But. So, I've been banging on for weeks and weeks and weeks about both Apex Legends and Division.
Sorry. Yes, you have.
I have, and I've been banging on about these things for weeks, and I'm still playing both of them quite a lot. However, I have now got to a point where I can quite comfortably say that I'm basically at the end of life for both of these games, and I need to deliver a conclusion and then leave it the fuck alone.
Wow.
Okay, so this is like the end of my thesis. I feel like I've gone through this like rolling wave of emotions with both of these games for a little while. So, conclusion for Division 2, it is an amazingly well put together, technically adept game with bugs that is absolutely nowhere near as good as the first game. And there you go.
Do we need to discuss that, or can
that
we just leave it there?
I think it's okay to leave it there.
Next.
That was so succinct.
They decided that the end game was the most important part of the game because they fucked it up with the first game, so they concentrated all of their efforts on the end game. And
isn't that what they pretty much did with the first game?
Yeah, well... Yeah, so that, but they've ignored the story in this game. Like, I could not name a single character. Like, there's irritating woman and there's irritating dude, and those are the only two that I can remember. And there's a president who you rescue, fucks off in a helicopter, and then mysteriously, like 2 missions later, disappears, and then you never see him again. The whole thing is so, the story is so unrewarding. It's unbelievable. The game is technically nice, but it is missing a ton of stuff that the first game had. The destructibility of items in the game is lacking massively. It used to be so amazingly dynamic when you were shooting loads of stuff in the world and shit was flying all over the place and exploding and all the rest of it. And they've almost completely got rid of that in this game. To the point where in so many places there are very, very bright spotlights that are shining directly in your face. And you cannot see a goddamn thing. Now in the first game that wasn't a problem. You just shoot the light, right? Bang. Light's gone. Problem solved. You cannot do that in this game. You can't shoot the lights out. So you are just constantly fucking blinded by these things, and it is very frustrating.
Excellent.
That's it. Division 2 done. I will never speak of this game again until next week.
So when I said to you, do we need to elaborate on that, or can we move on?
You didn't need to, but I felt like I
was... right.
He felt you pressured.
It's like, you don't feel like you need to chime in on this, but you can if you want to. So then the other one is Apex. Apex built up a massive, massive head of steam, and it was really good. And the game is still just as good as it always was, and everybody was quite excited about the Battle Pass. And the Battle Pass was so bad that they have now lost 75% of their viewership on Twitch. 75%. Considering that this was, at one point, the most streamed game on Twitch, for a flash-in-the-pan moment, they have somehow managed to absolutely obliterate all of that momentum and fuck it right down the drain. It's still a very good game. They've not ruined the game in any meaningful way. They've just ponderously squandered the momentum that they'd managed to build up, and it feels very disappointing. And also, if you've bought the Battle Pass, sorry, because it is bad. Did you buy the Battle Pass? You did! Ross put his hand up. By the way, for those of you who are listening on the audio-only component of this podcast, Ross put his hand up there. I'm just going to have to describe all of your actions. Elle's looking bored. Lewis is having a drink. You bought the Battle Pass, and are you happy with your purchase?
Yeah, it's all right. It does...
Really?
Yeah, I mean, nothing in it is worth the money I've paid for it. But it wasn't that expensive.
That's usually the qualifier of a happy purchase. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't worth the money that I spent on it, but yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it's all just cosmetic stuff and, like, banners for how many kills you get and new gun weapon skins and stuff. Like, it's all kind of fairly inconsequential stuff.
I was going to say, that would be totally wasted on me because I never get kills. Unless it's, like, a death banner.
There is a death banner.
Oh,
like,
is there?
You can actually... Yeah, yeah, a number of times you picked up or something like that. Like, yeah. Number of times somebody shafted you.
Right, okay, cool.
Right up the hole. Yeah, there is that. You have to earn it, though. You have to unlock it, right? By killing people.
What? I got it through EA Access because I'm a EA Access member. So I got, like, a 10% discount on it. So it's, like, £7.19, which is still kind of quite highly priced, but it's still... It's not a huge amount of money, is it?
Meh. So, look, long story short. Sorry, carry on.
I was going to say, it's not that much. It's what, a couple of beers?
Mm. Yeah, a couple of beers. And that's the thing. You got, like I was saying about the £11 thing. That's like half a pint in London, right? So £11 for a game is not so bad. That's okay.
Yeah.
Look, Apex Legends, it's still an amazing game. In my opinion, the game's still solid. It's fantastic. I really, really enjoy it. I played it for the first time this weekend. I've just noticed that Natalie's joined the chat as well. Hello, Natalie. I was at Natalie's house this weekend, and I played Apex Legends for the first time on an Xbox. And it is a completely different game. It is a completely different game on Xbox to what it is on PC.
That's like
it's like at half speed. It is literally like playing the game at half speed. That is potentially a combination of the fact that I do think that they've slowed the game down slightly to accommodate clunky pad hands, but also I have terrible clunky pad hands. Like, I cannot aim. I cannot aim at people with the pad. So
yeah, I can't either.
Turn the sensitivity up.
No, it's not that. It's that my thumb doesn't work properly. The Natalie's son, Sam, he was like, fucking, this is really easy. Look at this. I'm just killing loads of people. I couldn't work it. I could not work out the pad at all. So, look, Apex Legends, still an amazing game. Lost an awful lot of momentum. I've got a horrible feeling that Fortnite is going to, or probably already has, taken way back over as the premier fucking Battle Royale game in the world, which it does not deserve. But there
you go. Well, it's taken all of Apex's ideas, isn't it?
If you listen to any Fortnite fanboys, and you shouldn't ever listen to fanboys of any flavour, especially Fortnite fanboys, because they are not of an old enough age to have an opinion. If you listen to Fortnite fanboys, Fortnite fanboys will tell you that Fortnite had all of these ideas already in the bag. Like, they were right on the edge of releasing them before Apex came out. And the Apex coming out just kind of proved to them that the idea worked and they pushed it into life, which is like 100% not true. Guarantee you that's not true. But there you go. Right, that's the end of Division of Fortnite. And I will, unless something really big happens in either of those games, I will try not to talk about them anymore. But I've been playing both of them a lot. I still enjoy them very much, but there are problems with both of them. Okay, that's it. And I've got another game that I want to talk about, but I'm not going to do it right now. We need to move to somebody else. What was that? A L'Oreal moment there, Elle? What's the thing happening?
It was an exclamation.
That's your exclamation
a
wobble.
Exclamation.
I didn't realize it was an exclamation wobble. It's like sign language, but just with your face.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, okay. Hello, Simon, in the chat. We're about to move to somebody else. So who do we want? Who wants to speak about a game? Elle. You're nominating somebody.
I'm nominating Ross.
Ross. Ross needs to talk about a thing.
Okay.
Ross, talk about a thing.
I've played Vampire.
Ooh, yes.
Or Vampire.
Vampire, yeah. V-A-M-P-Y-R.
The one with the Russian-looking fella. Is he Russian?
No, he's very, very English.
Oh. He looks Russian.
Yeah.
Why did I say that?
Yeah, people can look Russian.
Is that okay?
I'm just going to beep it out anyway.
Okay.
He's become much worse.
He looks... I've never looked worse than when you guys beat me out of the podcast. The unnecessary censorship of me makes me look so bad.
Or taking quotes out of context. I mean,
there is very little with me that if you take some kind of context out of the equation, I very easily look terrible. Very bad indeed. Okay, Vampyr. So he looks Russian, but he's very English.
Very English, yeah. His name's Dr. Jonathan Reed. Comes back to London after the Great War, which I'm assuming is the First World War. So it's set in 1920-ish, 1918, 1920, something like that.
That would be the First World War, Ross.
That would be
chronologically.
The game starts with him waking up in a mass grave, but he obviously wakes up as a vampire, overwhelmed for his bloodlust, basically. The first person he sees, he just sees in this like blurry haze, like a vampire vision, I suppose it is. And then
vampire vision.
Of vampire vision. Like Assassin's Creed.
Everyone appears
He just sees steaks everywhere.
So obviously you can't see who it is and he kills her.
Oh, no, not
blood.
Steaks.
That's his sister. Spoilers, by the way, but it's the first minute of the game, so fuck you.
It's too late, Elle.
I'll be honest, they didn't really make that big a jump, because isn't the guy that wrote or was in the original Dracula called Dr. Jonathan Harker? They're not really being that imaginative.
To be honest, there's not a lot imaginative about the whole vampire circle, really, is there now?
No, it's quite a closed off. The law is in place, isn't it? But I've played for about 3 or 4 hours. I've not really got too far into it, but it's one of those choice-based games, like I think Walking Dead, where these kind of choices actually matter. So like you can choose to kill people or let them go, because you're a doctor. You're trying to cure this disease that you have, but you're also trying. You've got the bloodlust the entire time. So you kind of got a way up. Do you kill this person to level up, or do you let them leave and
so you're
become
like
a better person? Yeah, almost exactly. Yeah, that's a perfect analogy. Actually, it's for 4 hours that I've played so far. I'm really enjoying it. Yeah,
is it point and click?
No, it's
sorry,
like full on. Best way to describe it is like Mass Effect. It's got the wheel of conversation.
I'm in.
Yeah.
There's no mandibles, El. It's vampires.
But I don't care.
You have to speak to people, and you pick up hints about other people, and you can. That leads to you kind of being able to gain special abilities and stuff. So it's
what
quite,
hints? What? Did you hear about Sally over there?
Exactly.
She's got blood.
Yeah. Don't talk about certain things about a certain character.
She's got fucking loads of it. Have you seen the size of her? Twinkies all day, that bitch.
But yeah, it's good fun from what I've played so far. I just want to play some more. See where
can
it
you
goes.
Just drain people a bit? Can you like...
Well, when you get into combat, you,
snack on them.
You
what,
have to bite
like,
ability.
Just to
tap them like a beer barrel.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's something that you'd say to somebody in a club now, but yeah, I guess so. Would you like me to tap you like a beer barrel?
go to the OAP's home. Wonderful vintage. La, 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 la. I have an important question to ask.
Okay.
Have you been a good vampire or a bad vampire?
I've been good
he
so far.
He drinks people's blood!
No, I've been good so far.
Okay.
How can you be good?
Well, he needs to survive. I don't know whether the blood supplies are pretty good in hospitals in the 1920s or whether he wants to begin his life of stealing blood.
Everyone's
could just
fucking...
go straight to the source.
Everyone's got the plague. Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine the blood's that good. Or cholera.
So, everyone's on their high horses.
You are right, Lewis. It was a bad year for blood.
When you travel to a different part of London, it tells you how healthy the kind of the residents are. So,
oh my god,
where the hospital is, they're healthy, but there's like the slums where everyone's diseased, and you don't really want to drink their blood.
Scabies around here, not going to be drinking anyone in these parts. So the best thing that you could possibly do to avoid vampire sucking is to like get the clap. Just as a yeah, like that. Oh, that's messed up the whole edit now. That's messed up the whole edit.
Oh my gosh.
It's like World War Z, right?
Yeah.
Where old Brad Pitt went off and gave himself God knows what so that the zombies couldn't see him. But it's similar to that.
Yeah.
Only with
yeah.
scabrous things.
I just prefer to arm myself with all manner of sharp wooden implements.
What, rather than get the clap?
Yes.
I've got to be honest, the clap sounds easier.
In your story in the game, you're trying to figure out how to cure this thing. You're being helped by a priest who uses a cross, obviously, to control you. Like, he just holds it up and you just freeze, basically.
Okay.
And then
pretty sure that's
shit.
Not how that works.
In the game, it does.
That's how it works in regular churches. You just see the old people, like a fucking deer in the headlights.
Also,
shit!
What if the vampire isn't, you know, Judeo-Christian? It's just like...
What if he's an atheist vampire, L?
I mean, that raises a good point. Like, what about atheist vampires? Or...
Just turn around and say, get dicked, son.
I feel like maybe we're picking nits out of a mythology here.
Sorry.
That largely revolves around people being immortal and drinking other people's blood. I mean, like, if you're going to have a problem, I don't really think that their religion is the thing to pick at, is it?
I feel like
maybe it is. I mean,
we're asking the important questions.
We're asking the deep questions.
The questions that no one else is asking.
So vampire
is
not a Russian guy, even though he looks slightly Russian. He's very British and he's trying to heal the vampire stuff that's going on with him. He may or may not be religious, but he doesn't like crosses particularly.
But we're not judging him for it.
We're not judging him for that. The fact that he's drinking people and checking... Like, he's a doctor, so presumably he's checking to see if they've got the clap first. And then going, clear! Good, though, right?
Going to town on them like a big old Capri Sun.
Like... He's a modern vampire, though, so he's got, like, a cardboard straw, which is really irritating because he's got to keep changing it every time.
Yeah, metal one would be easy.
Ah, aluminium straw, James.
And then you could just, like, sand it down to a point, like you did, like, on Capri Sun straws. Happy days. You literally have a big old Capri Sun.
Jason Momoa would love you for it. I don't... Ross, do you feel like this has got away from you, similar to this?
Just slightly,
Vampire.
Vampire.
Would you recommend at its current price point?
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a Game Pass, you pick it up for whatever you pay per month for that, and it's definitely worth it for that.
Is this on PC Game Pass as well, or is it Xbox only?
Good question.
Is it a good question you can answer?
No.
No, that shrug indicates that no, you cannot answer that question.
Probably Xbox only because it is not a Microsoft title.
It says Windows, PS4, Xbox One and Switch. So possibly, but most likely not, no.
It's really difficult to tell. Like, using the Microsoft Store and using the Game Pass interface, it's so difficult to tell which games are available for the Xbox or the PC.
They need to sort that out, don't they?
There is no way of doing it. Like, what I want to be able to do is just on PC go, show me the games that I can get on the Game Pass.
Yeah, sort by Game Pass.
I can download them. You can't do that.
If it's a Microsoft published title, then you will be able to get it on the PC Game Pass.
Right, okay. There are a few that aren't, though, and it's really annoying.
Like
it's annoyingly confusing. I can't remember.
Ones that he wanted so bad.
It's State of Decay, a Microsoft one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you've proven yourself right, and I'm an idiot. So. Vampire is okay, good, worth playing.
How many Capri Suns have 10?
How many Capri Suns?
6.5. You always lose a bit.
Okay, that's not that great. That's not that great.
That's only for 4 hours of play so far.
Okay. So you're quite demanding, you. How much is it if you don't have the Game Pass?
God, you're full of questions, aren't you? I don't know. Let me find the game website and I'll have a look.
For those of you who can't see the video component of this podcast, I just did an exasperated head wobble thing and then lifted my arms in the air.
On Steam, it's $44.99. So yeah, don't.
Jesus,
pay that.
Fuck holding bollocks! I'm not paying that.
Just get the Game Pass.
Not for 6.5 out of 10. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Rich feels very strongly about money.
Just get the Game Pass.
I'll get the Game Pass and an Xbox. I'd buy an Xbox before I pay that for the fucking game. Right, okay.
It's about $40 on the Xbox store.
Okay, well, it's not paying that either. Dollars or pounds, it's not happening. Okay, Are we done with Vampyr? Is there anything in particular that you want to say about the game, or the gameplay, or the playstyle, or something that really bumped out at you about it, or is it just a reasonably solid 6.5?
It's just pretty solid so far. It's given me slight Mass Effect vibes, but obviously not in space, obviously in London, in the war. But what more can you ask for? Yeah, else happy?
Space.
Werewolves. The Carrion.
Right, Lewis, you need to talk about a thing that you have played that's exciting and amazing.
Right, I played a couple of things. They're not new. I played the Borderlands Game of the Year edition.
That's new.
It's Borderlands.
Okay, that's not new.
Well, no, it's not. Again, we got this from 2K. It plays like Borderlands. It looks a lot nicer. They have improved or added some quality of life to it, so there's a mini map on screen, there's some other bits and pieces. I think I streamed a bit of this as well. But yes, it's typical Borderlands.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, Lemmings mobile game, quickly.
Yes, okay.
So I will rescind this.
Lemmings on the mobile that came out 2-3 months ago. I'm not sure if I've actually spoken about it, but
I think we did, but I can't remember how many podcasts we've lost since then, so not you, not you.
It's excellent. It's really well adapted. The only downside is the ads are very, very intrusive.
Right, okay. Can you pay for it to get rid of the ads?
You can.
That fucking annoys me.
So
annoying.
I hate that.
You can pay for... you can pay for like a 2-hour block of no ads and unlimited energy, but that's it.
I was like way in there, and now I've slowly retreated.
It's good, and like you can unlock more energy as you go along, and there is a timer for energy unlocks. But it plays really nicely. It's a good kind of homage to the original Lemmings games. But
okay.
Yeah. It's good to just play on the train.
Yeah.
Good. Right. Okay, so mobile games and... right, just quickly talking about advertisements in mobile games, that needs to stop. My kids play mobile games, and the ads nowadays are so fucking intrusive. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They play a game... finish a level, and it comes up with like a 45-second advertisement video that they have to watch to be able to continue playing the game.
Yeah, the amount of times Molly says to me, "Daddy, what's this?" because she's in the App Store, because she's tried to get off the advert and click on it, and it's taken us to the App Store
and ended up on the App Store to go and download it. Yeah, this is why the Kindle Kids Mode thing is so amazing.
Yeah,
kids got a Kindle, and you pay for the Kids Mode thing. It's brilliant. They get access to all the games. You don't have to pay for them. They've just got a kids-friendly App Store that they can download. None of the games you've got to pay for. All of them are completely advert-free. And they're all age appropriate. Yeah. It is
really
the best thing about the Kindle infrastructure.
Yeah,
I did not know
it's
that.
It's so good. Yeah, it's really so good. Like the family and I'm going into like gaming dad mode quickly.
Well, no, because it's important because there's been studies done on advertisements and how kids react to it. And there's some really interesting psychological experiments that have been done.
So,
and they're really bad for kids. They're really bad for us. But
Here's the thing that pisses me off, majorly pisses me off. Being the hopefully good dad that I am, I have gone through the fucking pain and effort of every single device that my kids have got has got like the Google Family Mode on it or the Microsoft Family Mode, sometimes both, and the Amazon, the Kindle Kids Mode and all this kind of stuff. And it's all centrally managed from central accounts and all the rest of it. The Amazon one works beautifully. You have to pay for it monthly, but it works beautifully.
Yeah.
They all get their own account. Every Amazon device that you've got in your house, any kid can log onto it and they go onto their own profile and they can download their own games and it's all free. There's no advertisements. It's all great. You can completely lock it down or you can allow other games onto the platform and stuff that isn't normally available to them, but you've got to do that yourself. Great. The Google one allows you to approve certain games for them. So let's say they go to the App Store and they say, I want to download this game. They have to request it, and it sends it to the Google platform, and you have to allow or deny. And that's great. It tells you what like the age certification of the game is, and you can choose to allow them to have it or not.
Yeah.
The advertisements in those applications are not limited to the same age range as the application is advertised at. So if you allow them to download a game that is like advertised at PEGI 8 or ESRB 8 or whatever it is, there will be adverts that get shown in between the game that are not appropriate for that age range at all.
Yeah.
And it fucking pisses me off. Why have the age range in the first place if you're going to expose the kids to content that is not fucking appropriate? So I've had to go through and manually delete a shitload of games that have got these intrusive adverts in them.
They need to have a chat to their marketing department then, because you need to be able to have a look at your age range of users and, you know, split it in some way. Because it's, if you're not going to do that and you're not going to separate your advertisements based on age, it's like, hey kids, want to try some alcohol?
Yeah.
It's not great.
Go ahead. And like, TikTok, Sarah's just said in the chat, TikTok. So Sarah's daughter has been exposed to this application, TikTok. It's like this app that allows kids to make like stop motion videos of themselves and like split videos of themselves and all that stuff.
It's Vine.
Kind of, yeah. It's specifically targeted at 9-year-old girls and tries to make them look like they're at least 15. It is fucking. It's got all the filters on it and all the rest of it. This application is the end user license agreement. When you go to launch it, says that you have to be in certain territories. You have to be 13. In other territories, you have to be 16 to sign up for an account with this game. There's no age verification checks.
Yeah, like
so it just says you need to be, but doesn't actually check to see if you are. But the adverts in games that are ESRB 8 show TikTok, even though you have to be at least 13 to be able to use it. So then you've got all kids going, oh, but I want to use it, I want to use it. And you're there going, no, fuck you. You are going to be the only one of your friends that doesn't use this application. And I am that dad.
Because I am a sensible parent.
I will
parent.
Be that dad.
Yeah.
It is. Anyway, sorry.
Vaccinate angry, your kids.
Angry rant mode. Do you know what? Honestly, the out of all of the applications, being a techie dad, out of all the applications, out of Amazon's ecosystem, out of Google's ecosystem, out of Microsoft's ecosystems, all of which have got family modes that allow you to regulate what your kids can and can't see on the various devices that they've got, I can say without a shadow of the doubt that it's easier to not have kids. Get a dog.
Or a cat.
That's my advice. Yeah, or a cat. Vaccinate kids as well, yeah. Don't have them, but if you do have them, make sure you vaccinate them. And then just don't get them any devices. That's the easiest thing to do. Right. Game talk. That was kind of game talk, but more game talk.
Yeah.
Elle, have you got game talk to game talk about?
Well, you asked for a weird game. And
I don't know if I specifically asked for a weird game. I feel like I possibly shamed you more than I should have done about the previous non-weird game.
And perhaps a mobile game. Simulacra is something that I played on mobile. It is a horror game. It's like a realistic, I've just gotten hold of someone's phone because they've left it on my doorstep. So you go through the process of like unlocking it and then basically slowly but surely uncovering this person's background and history and how they've gone missing and what has happened to them, and
battling the dark entity that now resides within the phone. That took a fucking turn. Jesus,
it's amazing.
I just clicked off of the stream window and that completely scared the shit out of me. I have no idea what's
I'm gonna put it out there. Some of the acting in it is real bad.
What game is this?
It's called Simulacra. You can get
spelling is hard, kids.
Let's have a look. Simulacra.
Yeah,
there you go. Found phone horror mystery
by Kagan Games. Oh, you.
It costs £4.29 of our UK monies.
Hang on, it costs that much? Right, so it's a game where
PEGI
you
16.
Play like you're hacking into someone's phone.
Well, no.
Would that not work better on a mobile device?
Well, it is on.
It is on a mobile device.
Oh, is it?
It's also on Steam.
Yep.
Oh, it doesn't.
It
actually
is also on Steam.
Oh, right. Okay. It didn't actually say that it was. So it doesn't say on the website that it's on.
Okay, no, you can play it on your phone. It has reference to Bob Ross in it, and I'm all for a game that can reference Bob Ross. It's quite dark. It is rather bizarre.
Oh my god, I'm looking at the trailer of this game right now and I have to play it. What the fuck?
It's the videos where she's like recording her daily vlogs and she's like, Oh my god, don't come look for me. And
this
I'm like, this is a really cool idea.
Just go.
Yeah.
This is like an interactive Blair Witch project.
Yeah, basically.
This is cool. Years and years and years ago, I played a game called Phantasmagora, which was like a point-and-click adventure game, but it was, because graphics were shit at the time, it had real actors doing all that stuff. Yeah. And you would find lots of video footage that people had left behind, and it would play a video, and you had to work out what was going on from the video or make certain decisions based on the video. This looks like that.
Oh, yeah.
It looks really cool.
Point-and-click horror adventure video game. That's cool. Yeah. I don't want to spoil it, but it's all right.
Okay.
If you like Creepypasta and you want to play a game at 3 a.m. when you're travelling with work and you're like, yeah, let's go. I don't want to sleep tonight.
It looks kind of cool. Do you know what? I kind of want to play it for two reasons. One, because it looks really unique, and I've never seen anything like this. Like, playing it on a PC might be kind of rubbish, but playing it on a phone looks like it'd be kind of cool.
There's there's another one as well by the same company called Pipe Dreams, and it's free. Well, it's free on iOS, anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, Simulacra Pipe Dreams.
Yeah.
I'll have a look at that. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
That entertained me for a while. It's been a while now since I've played it, but it must have entertained me for at least an hour or two.
Okay, right, you've won your weird points back.
You goddamn
congratulations!
Crazy woman.
I feel like you should have some kind of badge or something. That's like not necessarily weird, but it's cool. That's
the more you know. Welcome to the Eldritch L Show.
Like, gotta be honest, a lot of the games that you talk about, I'm like.
You say that, but I've introduced you to some crackers.
You have introduced me, but like it is a very scattershot approach.
And I have filtered. I play the games, so you don't have to. I date the games,
that is very true.
So you don't
In fact,
to.
I feel like that's almost this whole podcast. So we played this, and it was kind of balls. Well, and then we also played this.
Yeah, but I mean that's good because then you're not wasting your money on things that are shit.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sarah's asked, it's not scary or no, it's not like Orwell.
It's not like Orwell.
It's creepy. Would not recommend
creepy
for children.
Pasta.
Would not recommend for children. Do not give this to your kids. Oh my god.
It's not included in Amazon Fire for kids.
Bram's asked if any of us remember Majestic.
Which I do, because I've been listening back to the early podcasts, and he mentioned that on episode 4, I think it was.
What? Was created by Neil Young.
Oh my gosh,
why do
this
I know
sounds
Neil
amazing.
Young?
That's a musician, and I'm almost 100% certain that we would have had that conversation 5-6 years ago.
Is he the guy that had crocodile boots, or is that somebody else?
No, Jimmy Nail, wasn't it?
That's Jimmy Nail.
Oh, was it?
Crocodile boots!
I feel like maybe he could have had crocodile boots. I mean, it's not a style that's limited specifically to certain demographics.
That is far too young for Jimmy Nail and crocodile shoes.
Can I please speak about a game?
Yeah, go
if
on.
If you must.
Right, this is the last game I'm going to speak about on the podcast.
Yeah.
That's not too fucking whelmed. Right. I played a game. Right, so if I haven't spoken about this on a podcast, I'm going to speak about it now. I went to EGX Resd. I thought I'd spoken about this on a podcast, but evidently I either haven't or we lost the podcast. I went to EGX Resd a few weeks ago. It was okay. A lot of people there were very excited and enthused to be there. It was okay. in large part. And look, do you know what?
Again, how was it,
we
Rich?
Do these things so. It was okay, Lewis. Do you know? It was okay. We do these things in large part so you either don't have to, or you can, or you might want to, or you. And we're just like regular people, right? Well, in the main, we were born the same as everybody else, and then 35 years passed, and this is what you got. So, the problem with EGX Resd as compared to EGX, in my opinion, is that EGX is very open. It's big and open plan. It's a massive area, and there is a vibe that you can carry from one area to the next. You've got a massive Microsoft like stage with an MC shouting and getting everybody excited, next to a Nintendo stage that's got a couple of other MCs throwing merch around and getting people excited. You've got queues next to all of those things, and those people in those queues can watch the other content that's going on around the place and see what's happening, talk to people that are going past, see cosplayers that are walking around. There is a vibe that carries around the entire place, and no matter what you're doing or where you're going, you can keep that momentum and keep that feeling going with you wherever you go. Resd, the venue that they used for EGX Resd this year, and I believe they've used it for several years previous as well, is fucking bizarre. It's this place called... Shit, what was it called?
Tobacco Dock.
That's the fella. Right, and it's like this old shipyard in London that is just literally made up of what I can only describe as barrel cellars. Multiple barrel cellars across the entire, like, area, entire place. Everything in this place is split up into different rooms. There must be, like, 20 different rooms. Mm-hmm. A couple of them are big, yeah, that you've got, like, you know, 15, 16 different games in there. But a lot of them are a lot smaller, and they'll be, like, Ubisoft will be in one, and just Ubisoft games will be in there. And then something else will be in another. And you literally... You've got noise and sound and excitement and things happening in that particular vendor's area. And then you walk out of there and nothing. It's dead. Just corridors. Just emptiness. No noise, no excitement, no vibe. Yes. And then you just walk listlessly and silently to the next area and walk in and look in there. Oh, okay. And now I've got a disconnected experience. And I've got no continuity of experience throughout the entire place. So that's one problem. The other problem is that there were so many games there that were exactly the same as other games that were in other sections, but you had no idea that they were there. So you had like an AMD section that had a couple of games in there, and then a completely different section that had exactly the same games, and then another section that had exactly the same games again. And I'm like, why the fuck am I walking between all these sections? Because somebody have just told me one to go to, and I just sit there for fucking half an hour and then leave. There were a lot of great things there, but the whole thing felt so fucking disconnected and poorly designed and poorly put together. And on top of that, if I'm in fucking rant mode, there was one place to buy food. One place to buy food.
Did they do burgers?
It was fucking trendy pizza. It was trendy pizza, El. It wasn't regular pizza. It was flatbread.
Oh, what?
It was what? Fucking flatbread.
That's what, not pizza!
No, so, it was like 20 quid flatbread.
So, there is a McDonald's, which is...
Yeah, I went there. That's where I went.
About a 5-minute walk away.
Yeah, that's where I went.
And then, if you keep walking, I'm pretty sure there's a barbecue place called Bodine's, which is just up the road as well.
I didn't go there.
You should have gone there. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, as a venue... I felt Tobacco Dock extraordinarily lacking.
Yeah.
I didn't think it did anything for the show at all.
I thought the stands were great. The exact same thing when I went.
Good. The stands were great. The show, you know, the show was put on pretty well by all of the vendors and all of the people that were there. There was nothing particularly wrong with that. It was just so... You had to re-hype yourself up for every single bit that you went to.
The layout of the building. It's the wrong building.
I got lost twice. I got, like, full-on lost, because it's like, there's two sections that look exactly the same.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll go down to the AMD stand, and I went downstairs, and there's a Nintendo booth, and I'm like...
You know, they're laughing about the same thing.
The fuck did they pick up? No, I got back, I went on the train, and I was fine, all by myself. I was fine. I had to ask somebody at one point, but I needed to go. But in the main, I was absolutely fine. I've got Google on my phone now, everything's good. Right, so anyway, look, that's not necessarily the thing that I wanted to talk about, but from somebody who loves EGX, I genuinely love EGX.
Sorry,
I'm not sure.
That's not something I necessarily wanted to talk about.
Well, I did.
But you've just spent 10 minutes talking about it.
I mean, you've met me before, right?
We've podcasted.
I feel like, yes, unfortunately.
I feel like there's like selective amnesia going on here about the amount that I talk.
I'm prepared.
That was the thing. Oh, prepare yourself, Al. That was one thing I want to talk about EGX Fest. There was a couple of games there, and there's some recommendations that I have. But there is one game that got me there, that absolutely got me there, and it's a game that I'm definitely going to be getting, and I'm going to be playing the shit out of it. And it's called My Friend Pedro. And it's not a porn game. Not the section that I played, anyway.
Before.
Right. So, what? My Friend Pedro. I'll give you guys a moment to look this up.
Right,
it's not
okay.
Right, so there is an old Flash game. There is an old, apparently, an old browser-based Flash game called My Friend Pedro, and it's not that. If you've got, if you find
is it the banana,
if it's the, if you've got to the banana, you're at the right one. It's not a porn game.
Holy
it's not a porn
shit!
Game.
Yeah.
So,
a violent ballet about friendship.
Right. So, if anybody. So I'm going to copy and paste the into the Facebook stream chat right now. I'm just going to put the YouTube trailer for this thing in here, right? This game plays like the development studio that made it wanted the Deadpool license. They wanted a license to make a Deadpool game, and they either couldn't afford it or couldn't get it, and they decided that they just went ahead and made something. This game has got Deadpool written all over it. If they got a license to put the Deadpool character in this game, it would fit so perfectly. It would be unbelievable. This game was available to play both on pad and on mouse and keyboard. Now, it was a bit shonkier to play on mouse and keyboard, but if you got used to it, it was so much more impressive. I found it quite difficult to play with a pad. But essentially, this is a side-scrolling shoot-em-up, which heavily involves bullet time and flips and acrobatics and crazy swinging around on ropes and shooting people. It's like a nuts version of The Matrix. If The Matrix was a side-scrolling shoot-em-up, you can, like, chop people's heads off and then kick the severed head at somebody else in slow-mo time to kill them.
Nice.
Backflip over tables. There was a game many years ago that we streamed called The Showdown Effect, and it is very similar stylistically to that. But it is so satisfying to play. You can do things like kick a frying pan up into the air and then in slow-mo shoot the frying pan, which redirects the bullets at the guys that you're trying to shoot. It's just ridiculous, over-the-top, stupid fun. And if you can get the hang of it, it is so satisfying. So satisfying to play. And this is the game where people... This was at the Devolver Digital stand. And this is the game that people were just stood there watching, going, what the fuck? This looks so cool. And it looks amazing to watch. It's even cooler to play. If you can get the hang of it, it is so good. That was my takeaway of the show, and I have to get that game.
Cool. Coming out on Switch and Windows.
Definitely. I'd love to play this on Switch. It'd be so amazing. Right. That's it. That's me done. Are we happy? Because I felt like I've spoken a lot.
No, I think that's good.
I feel like I've got all my yap-yaps
good
out.
Good solid long podcast.
No, that's...
Good solid long podcast. It's a regular length.
Yeah.
Right then. We had... Elle loves it. What
I just...
Elle,
I was watching the video and I was like...
Just in general.
There was a face thing going on.
I was probably making faces.
Right. We've had people talking to us in the Facebook chat while we've been speaking about all of this stuff. If you've got any opinions, if you're listening to this later than the live podcast, then that's brilliant. Keep doing that. But at the same time, talk to us about it. Tell us what you thought. If you thought that any of the games that I've said were shit were amazing, brilliant. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell me off. Come on to Twitter or Facebook or whatever your fucking aggressive poison of choice is, and let us know what your opinions are about the games that we've spoken about, or if there's anything else. Or if you've been to EGX Resident and loved it and think it's fantastic, tell us about that too.
I have a question. Elle,
you're waving
people.
Your hand.
Yeah, I know, because I raise my hand. I purchase the most ridiculous games. And I know the Jurassic Park game where you build a park and you manage the dinosaurs got absolutely slated and bombed. But
did it?
Ross, yeah, didn't you like, buy that?
In the beginning, yeah.
Not in the end, no. It's too expensive.
I've got a hankering for it. I keep thinking about it. I keep wanting to... There's been some banter in the chat. Sarah thinks Rich talks too much. But
no.
The important question is, shall I spend a ridiculous amount of money and manage some dinosaurs?
Okay, no, all right.
Still too expensive.
Ross is shaking his head. I feel like we can answer this within the podcast. Don't answer it, Ross. It's supposed to be a community question.
For the people. Okay. It's for the people.
We'll put a poll out for it.
It's not for you. It's not for you.
We'll stick a poll up.
Put a poll out. About stick a poll up about whether L should dinosaur? Okay.
Yes.
Right, we're done. I've spoken too much. Lewis has definitely spoken too much. That is going to be the end of this podcast. Thank you very much for listening. This has been Ready Player 2, episode 91. We're going to be back at some indeterminate amount of time. We may or may not publish this podcast as an actual podcast. We might lose it. But hopefully, it's all going to come out within the next few days and everybody will be able to stick it right up their ear holes. Thank you again. My name is Rich. You can find me on Twitter at Zebwen, that's Z-E-B-W-E-N. You can find all of us on Twitter at ReadyP2. You can find us at ReadyPlayer2, that's two.co.uk. You can find us on Acast. But the best thing to do is to go to Twitter, find us at ReadyP2. You can see all of the links for all of the cool places that we exist on. On the pinned tweet at the top of our Twitter profile. If you enjoyed this podcast, and if you like what we're doing, and the live streams that we're doing, and the games that we're playing, and everything else that we're doing and talking about, then have a think about giving us a coffee. Is that right, Lewis? Mm-hmm. Coffee?
Yeah.
And the link to that is going to be... Is that in the pinned tweet as well?
Yeah, so it's ko-fi.com/readyp2.
And you can buy us a coffee, and that can help go towards things like hosting fees and other things for keeping the website and everything else up and running. Ross, where can people find you?
At RossBell1984 on Twitter.
Thank you. Lewis, where can people find you?
At Louis_Kong.
And L, where can people find you?
In the darkest shadows of their dreams.
Or on Twitter at Escaping IRL.
I feel like the Twitter thing is preferable, if I'm being honest. I went way higher there than I intended to, but it's happened now. Okay, that's us. This is Ready Player 2, episode 91. Thank you very much for watching, listening, commenting, engaging, and otherwise making us feel good and stroking our egos. We will be back very shortly with another podcast. Good night.
Aww.
Stroke my ego.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.